This is Sean with Voices of SAE, and I'm speaking to a legend that I don't think anybody really ever rang your bell, but your name is John Bell, and how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Sean. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good. So where exactly are you at this moment?
I live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville?
Yes, sir.
How far from the strip and all the music?
I live in Mount Juliet, so I'm on the east side of town. And that would be about 20 minutes or so. It just depends on traffic wise. So it's downtown Nashville, Broadway. Everybody go hangs out. So that's the tourist trap, if you will. So that's 20 minutes away.
Okay, and just a real quick touch on you pledged. What was your pledge class in year?
Beta Kappa. So that'd have been spring of 93.
Spring of 93. Okay, so you basically were right. I was fall 93, so you were right before I. Okay.
Right. As you like to tout yourself as being the cat that was the first pledge class of the new house, well, we were the last pledge class of the old house and then into the new house. So there you go.
All right. So you're down in Nashville. What's your current world like? What do you do? What's the career type?
I work for OmniSource Corporation. So you had Ward on before, and Ward works for Steel Dynamics. Well, I am, too, a Steel Dynamics employee, but on the backside of it. So OmniSource is owned by Steel Dynamics. And so I work for the scrap arm of that. So steel, if you know how steel is made, it's basically what we do for Steel Dynamics is all basically scrap generated. It's electric arc furnaces, which takes the material, recycles it, turns it into steel coil, and other steel products, and that's what Jeff sells. Well, I buy the engineered scrap from production facilities, whatever, and then take that and then sell that to the steel mills and to our own steel mill, and we recycle it. So
okay.
That's what I do.
That's great. So was let's kind of back it up. Where were you born, and what year was that?
So I'm originally from Portland, Indiana, so a couple miles north of Muncie in 71, and then moved to New Haven in 78, and then graduated from New Haven in 89.
Okay. So you took some time off before you started college?
No. I was Tommy Boy, dude. I was Blutarski, Tommy Boy, whatever you want to call it, that was me. I left 89 high school and then dabbled around a little bit in Fort Wayne at IPWA, IPFW, and then had the opportunity when decided I was going to get the heck out of Fort Wayne and go to Ball State. And went south. And so one of my good friends, actually my pledge trainer, was Pat Rainier, or not was, is Pat Rainier. And so Rainier was a beta, god dang it, Zeta. He was a Zeta guy. And so that's when he came through, and then I had been involved with Ball State since Pat's going down there. So we would travel all the time down to Ball State from Fort Wayne often. And then when he became an SAE, then that's when I started hanging out more at the house at that time.
Right on. So, and not to pass it over, but what type of things did you get involved with in grade school and high school? Sports and community stuff?
Community stuff, no. I was horrible at that. I should have done more, but didn't do any of that. As far as sports, I wasn't necessarily a sports, I guess, star or anything like that. I was a football guy. I played baseball early on, but I had problems with baseball because I got hit. And I hated it, so I could never hit the fastball. Well, I could hit the fastball. I could hit the curveball. It's like Joe Boo. It's like, oh, fuck you, Joe Boo. I do it myself. But so then that was in Little League, and I just was terrified of getting hit by a ball. And then I was also younger. So I, 89, I was 17 when I graduated high school. So I didn't really hit a growth spurt until afterwards. And we were good in football. We were great, actually. But, you know, we sectional champs, missed a state championship by a couple points and feet, if you will. We had to go to regionals and semi-state, but we didn't get past regionals. But anyways, with that being said, so mostly a football guy, and that was, you know, where it went from there.
All right, so you pledged in the spring.
Yes.
And so did you start in the spring or start in the fall?
No, I started in, well, I started in the spring, so I transferred down. So it was in my, I was at year 3.5, so I was at 3.5 years at Indiana at Fort Wayne, and then decided to change my career path, and was, I didn't know what I wanted to do in high school. I had absolutely no clue, and even still as an adult, it took a long time to figure that out too. But was in pre-med. I was trying to be a dentist, and I was going to go to some other bullshit and some business and stuff like that. And then my neighbor growing up, his little brother had problems with hearing and was deaf, and got involved with thinking about going to be an audiologist. And Ball State was the premier facility for speech pathology and audiology. Huh. So I changed my path and started a year at IPFW into language, speech pathology, audiology type situation, and then transferred down to Ball State. And then tried to finish out Ball State that way, but life had a different path for me, and that's where it didn't go. So also some of that's free will too. But anyways, with that being said, so.
All right. So, you know, right when you got there, you already knew, you said Rainier, right?
Yeah. So I knew Pat well, and then Pat's buddies in the house. And so Langfeld, Easing, Hardig, Boner, and some of the older guys, you know, the Pratts, Stu, Chopper, some of those cats like that, Baron. I mean, all those guys, Bub, Fido. I mean, they were just, it was all there. I mean, I knew those guys from early on. So I had a bit of a, you know, involvement already with the Ball State, with SAE's.
And
Ball State.
Bottom line, you didn't even screw with Rush. You just went.
It was suicide. I mean, I was there. They actually told me to leave a couple of times. Like, look, you got to go. After we're done with Rush, we know you're here. Just go and come back. I'm like, all right.
All right. So I want to hit on the fact that you were the last pledge class for the old houses. So what was that like, knowing that, you know, okay, number one, describe the houses and the condition. Number two, just so people understand how many houses there were, and the whole pitch of, yeah, we're getting a new house. We're going to tear this stuff down and blah, blah, blah. Like, just kind of describe that whole situation.
It was two houses. So the one that's still standing that they actually added on to was the main. And then the one to the left of that was they called it the newer house, but it really was anything but that. And it was just, picture just a typical home residence that people had renovated and made houses and rooms out of the best they possibly could. So the kitchen was in the old house, so where it is the main now. So that was where the kitchen was, and that's where we had Virginia. So she, and I can't remember if she was there when I was, I think she was the pledge, yeah, when I was there, right. Or she was the cook when I was a pledge. And then the newer house is where some of the older guys all lived, and then had the upstairs. There's a one loft. I think Bilby, Reason, and those cats, and Bub might have lived up there, if I recall. And then some other areas just were Burr and those guys, and Pratt and Bub, the Baron had lived in the newer house, and Rainier lived at the front window the last time we were there during my pledgeship. And, you know, we were tasked with keeping stuff clean, and we did the best we could if the keeping the house to the best of its abilities. Granted, it was a trash spot, but it was our trash spot, and it was great. So it was basically on par with what Animal House Delta House was.
Right.
As far as just when you look at it, that's what it was. So,
was it already in, like, when you initially pledged, was the plan already in place, the money already set, that it was already going to happen, or was there worry or flux?
I can't speak to that because I can't. When I being a grunt at the time and not being on any of the upper councils, and, you know, when we go to chapter, was not really, we weren't involved with a lot of the here's what's going on in the future type of situation. So there was always talk. There's always been drawings of houses, and Housing Corps had something going on. So I can't speak to what that was. I have no idea.
Did it kind of hype up? Like, hey, it's going to start. They're going to break ground on May 14th. Was it like kind of
to be honest, Sean, I can't recall that. I just remember the part, though, when it was like the last weekend and we were in Rainier's room, and it might have been Harding, and I can't remember who else. Hartig, and everybody else that was in there with us. And all of a sudden, REM, End of the World comes on, and we just all looked at each other, and we just took everything and threw it out the window and just started throwing shit out the window during the whole time it was going down. And then when the song stops, we just sat down and started watching TV again.
All right, who were some of the favorites we were paired with as far as sororities that when you started?
Oh, I don't think there'd be favorites, but just whatever it was, we for some reason gravitated towards Alpha Chi Omega. I don't know why it was, if it was just the amount of people that were hung out, but they just seemed to be the one that was with us all the time. And then maybe the Delta Zetas was there, and just because of proximity and situations that everybody that knew everybody in those houses. So I would say those are the two that we hung out with most. It just seemed to be they go, you know, salt and pepper hand in hand type of thing. But, you know, again, that's just from my perspective. There might have been somebody else that's a different view of that than I would have. So,
you got any walkout stories, and where'd you go?
So our walkout, we went to Bowling Green, Ohio, and then we got there, and it was shut down or something like that. I can't remember what the case was, but there was like nobody there. It was like a ghost town. And so we decided to scoot south and go to Miami of Ohio. But some of the fun of that, though, was that's back when I was always a guy that could finagle the system. You know, I always found a way around something. And I remember going to, we rented a van, and the van was a per-mile rental. And I'm like, I got this because it's a Dodge van. I grew up with a Dodge van. I said, here's where the speedometer is. I'm going to unhook the speedometer so we don't get jacked on mileage. So I had hooked the speedometer on the van. I had my car, so I was the Smoking the Bandit lead blocker for my car, which was the Turismo, and drove up to Bowling Green, Ohio with three or four of us in that. And then however many people were in the van, and they were playing Mile Marker Beer Trap, or not, Mile Marker Century Club. So they were drinking beers every mile that they were cruising by. So we drove up to Bowling Green. That sucked. I think we raided their fridge and took a bunch of food and scooted out. Went to Miami of Ohio, just unseen, unknown, and then went down there and raided their place, and then just took on the city as far as in being in Oxford. And so that was our pledge or walkout.
Do you remember did anybody do anything crazy at the bar?
A good friend of mine somehow always liked to jump on the stage and grab a tambourine. So somehow he was always up there trying to be a part of the band. And that sometimes worked out. Other times we got in a fight. So.
And how many guys were in the pledge class?
I believe we had 15 in that.
That's solid for spring.
And, you know, I made mention, I got to bring it up. So, and one of the guys we'd lost in our group would have been J.J. McCoy. So I don't know if you knew that he passed away a couple of years ago.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, so he was in South Carolina, had a stroke or something like that, and basically passed away. And it's sad, but it's also, I was looking at that and thinking back and looking at being a New Haven guy, there are, that I can think of right now, six of us that have gone through that were SAs. Jeff Brock, JJ, Rainier, myself, Corey Hamill, Goldie. That's just the guys I can think of right now off the top of my head.
Right.
That were New Haven dudes. And even crazier is two of the cats that were Beta Gamma News were my teachers in high school.
That's crazy.
So Dennis Johnson and Jerry Ish were teachers of ours, Rainier's and myself, and those New Haven guys. At New Haven, though, they were the Beta Gamma New guys that started it. And then they had another buddy, Arnie Ball, who is a Hall of Fame volleyball coach, and he brought volleyball to Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne. So, and his kid now, his grandson, goes to Ball State. I don't think he's rushed or anything, if they know who he is, but still, and his son was a gold medal volleyball player. So there's connections to the Olympics through us by 6 degrees of separation, I guess.
It's pretty odd. And you didn't really, I mean, you didn't figure that out until after, right? You didn't know that in high school.
Didn't put two and two together in high school. And then one of our friends was dating Mr. Johnson's daughter, and then just through conversation and figuring out, like, what the heck? That's the same guy. We kind of put two and two together. It's like, oh, wow. Hey, that's cool. So.
That's awesome. All right, so let's take it back to maybe Patty Murphy or some formal, any formal stories or Patty Murphy stories that reading of the wills, any of that stuff you want to bring up?
Yeah, I mean, those were all the same. I mean, there's, you go, you get some drinks on, you hang out, and I think most of the time for those situations, it was, not to say but it was just a time where all the guys just hung out at the bar and just drank at the bar. And then we sat at the table with each other and drank. And it's not to say it was all a drinking fest, but I think a lot of time, at least for me, I wasted the opportunity with the dates that I had at the time to spend with them, because most of it was spent just a glorified party sitting at the bar. So that was probably an opportunity that if I was the that changed, been different, but again, can't go back in time, so that's what it is.
All right, so what's some of the weirdest things you saw happen in the house, or just, like, somebody spoke of a car being put in the informal. Like, there were some definitely epic things I can remember. What were some situations that you're like, I can't believe this just happened?
Ah, Rogie and his car. I wasn't there for that, but I remember Rogue talking about that one. And you'd have to know Steve to understand Rogie's personality to see why that was even funnier than it's told. Just thinking about things. I mean, one thing I remember, watermelon bust. Well, let me back up. So the year 94, 95, was probably the greatest time that I can recall being there. And just that would have been the, you know, year after your pledgeship when the, you know, those guys came in, second year of the house being up. I think that was just when we were just wild. I mean, it was just really crazy times. And thinking of watermelon bust, we were, it was me, Horvath, White, Pabst, shit, I can't remember who all was in that, but we were determined to win it. And then they ran out of watermelons. And they're like, you can't, and once you drop the watermelon, if it doesn't break, doesn't matter. If it hits the ground, you're out. But before it had to be, if you broke it, you were done. You were gone. So I was like, well, okay. And we're running around with it, and it hit the ground. And so then who ran the watermelon bus? Who was the sorority fraternity that was in with those?
Delts, maybe.
Okay, so it was the Delts. Whoever it was, the fraternity guys were like, hey, you dropped it. You got to give up your watermelon. I'm like, no. And they're like, you got to give it up. I'm like, no, I don't. And so then they started chasing me around as I'm running like a football with it and trying to keep it from getting my watermelon. And they're like, give us the watermelon. Then they had me surrounded, and I'm like, this is how this is going down. I just punted it. Just dropped, kicked it right in front of them. I said, there you go. Nobody gets the watermelon. And we all just started screaming, yeah. And they're like, that's it. You're out of here. Well, they must have forgot or did something. I don't know. We read in the paper the next day in the Ball State, whatever the hell that thing was. Winners, so in SAEs were the winners, and that was us because they lost all the points or something like that. The only ones they had was us, and we were the ones that, like, kicked the, I, you know, threw the watermelon in their face type of thing. So, anyways.
All right, so what's the situation of a brother really stepping up and helping you when you were in a pinch, or was there for you when you were going through some stuff, or you witnessed a brother doing that for another brother?
I can say personally for myself, I mean, after college, I didn't know what I was going to do because I kind of just went to school to go to school. Granted, I thought I was going to be a speech pathologist or a dentist or something else. It didn't really play out. And I had some difficulty. I mean, honestly, Sean, college for me was like Peter Pan living in Neverland or Tigger in the 100 Acre Woods. I mean, I was having a blast, man. I'd seen too many 80s fraternity movies, Animal House. I was just there to be Blutarsky and just have a blast. And that's what I did. And some of it impacted me with my life going down the road because I never grew up. And it took me a long time to grow up. And with that, you know, after college, some personal situations and just not really sure what I wanted to do with my life and just bounced around quite a bit. And not to say people specifically stepped up and pulled my head out of the toilet type of thing, but more of the situation of just being able to be around guys from school that were still just like, hey, what's going on? We'll not take care of you, but just, you know, here to help.
Right.
So if it ended, like, pulled me out of the, you know, quagmire or anything like that, it's just, I didn't get judged by those that were close to me in those situations. So that was beneficial. So it took me a long time to get out of that. But again, you got to learn from somewhere. And it just took me a long time to learn to grow up, even though I was the youngest guy in my class, but still, or one of the youngest guys in my class.
Well, I just remember you were hilarious, number one, and would be loud and didn't give a shit, number two.
And that is true.
Get really creative with your verbiage with the pledges, number three.
Yeah, I had a way of doing it, and that's where also I should have probably been a lawyer too, but I dabbled in trying to be law enforcement. I thought about going that way for a bit. That didn't work out, thankfully. Probably better official for those in the general public that I'm not carrying a badge and a gun. But with that being said, it's something I thought about doing. And just, again, I didn't care about school until it was too late to care about school. And if I was to give any advice, and if I had a son, I have daughters, by the way, so that's karma by itself. to have a son or to tell anybody that was going through this would be, you know, it's okay to have fun, but don't take it to the next level. You know, you got to be able to keep a pause button between the two. And that's something I couldn't do because I was trying to be like Roy Hobbs, like there goes the greatest drinker that ever lived. Well, yeah, that doesn't really get you much when you get to that point. You know, it's like, yeah, you can get in a fight so many times, or you can be not, nobody's going to mess with you, but that only goes so far. You know, that doesn't mean, doesn't cash the checks later in life. So that's where I would, you know, wish I'd have done something a little bit different that side of it.
Well,
I had a blast doing it, I'll tell you that, though.
Well, if you're referencing the old Ammo House, I'm always obviously thinking of John Belushi, and I'd like for you to think back to your own actions and what's some of the more wacky things you might have done that now you can kind of let the cat out of the bag without incriminating individual
people.
But
everybody knows what I did. I mean, like you said, I was not shy about anything whatsoever. I mean, put some notes here, Sean, just to make sure that I didn't go spaz or think, you know, blank on some things.
Okay.
But thinking about, you know, the time I remember with you is when I took somebody's bike from, we were at the front yard, I think it was a Gump or was it Dondo showed up with this brand new bicycle. And I'm like, hey, let me take that thing for a spin. I went up on University and came back, and all the delts around their front yard hanging out, like had some like soiree, like trying to do what we used to do with the whole, you know, beer traffic situation. And I took the bike and then ran through their front yard as they all just looked at me, and you're like, go through the hedges. And I went through their hedges then. And rode the bike through the hedges, and we got back up, and somehow I didn't get hit by a car. We get back on our front lawn and yell back at them, and we're like, had the bike in the air, like we're Piggy or something like that on Lord of the Flies, screaming at them. And they're just like, what the hell just happened?
Okay. What else?
Let's see. Well, Earl likes to tell this story. I used to mess with Milhouse quite a bit. And one of those is we went on a road trip one place. It's Miami of Ohio. And he gave me a key to his car. He said, hey, if you guys get lost or whatever, here's the keys to get back into my car. Well, he forgot he gave those to me. And so when we got back to the house, I would wait every couple of days and move his car in a parking spot to another spot.
I remember that. I
would move it one over or put it in go mode. If it was backwards, I'd put it forwards or vice versa. And just would wait and just would wait and just would wait. And never said anything, never told anybody I was doing it, and just waited. And then until one time he locked his keys in his car and he was going to call a locksmith or something like that. And I was like, all right, hey, man, gig is up. I'll tell you. Here's your keys. And he's like, son of a bitch, you had this whole time. I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do.
Anything else you want to mention?
Just thinking about the garage. You brought up something about that. Just we used to hang out there all the time, which is now gone. Rest in peace.
Right.
But we used to watch movies out there, and I think one time we were sitting around for 4 or 5 hours, and all of a sudden Billy Wyatt comes walking out of the back, and we're like, "What the shit?" And he's like, "Yeah, just beat it." And we're like, "Beat what? Solitaire." Like, what do you mean? Again, remember we used to be solitaire on the computers. That's just, people used to just thrive to that. So he was back there for 4 hours trying to play solitaire to beat it. And just time evaded him. We were out there for, just drinking. All of a sudden, here comes Billy, comes walking out. Kind of crazy. Just like, what the shit?
Any stories with other fraternities that would be worth mentioning besides riding your bike through the front yard?
Well, not me per se, but one of my pledge brothers, Otto, F. Shug, he hated the betas. I don't know what it was with him and the betas. He would run around and just try to tear it up and just always be ripping up stuff from them or going in and grabbing stuff off the wall or whatever. He hated the betas. I don't know what it was and how we never fought. And I knew a lot of guys that were betas, went to high school with them. So it was always a difficult task to try to keep everybody under control with that situation.
Do you remember that, the chair in the basement? I don't mean to cut you off, but their dentist chair in the basement?
The chair in the basement. Well, shit, I lived in the basement
chair.
For 6 months.
It was a dentist chair. They had concrete
at the
basement.
Beta house?
Yeah.
Oh, I never got to see. They had two houses, too. So they had the old houses, then they tore that down, and they put one up there now, which is not betas anymore, I don't believe.
Right.
So I never went into the old house too much. I don't remember actually going there.
It's all good. Continue with Otto.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I said continue talking about Otto.
Oh, okay, so then And also, I got to give props. A Butterker brought before, and then somehow my name gets associated with beer traffic way too often. That's not me. Actually, that would be Tony Langfeld created that whole process. And then Otto ran it up to the next level. But we were, during our pledge ship, we used to, I think it was towards the end of the spring, and Tony's like, hey, I got an idea. And he took all the furniture and threw it out front, and we had a fridge out there and a lamp and just started watching traffic drop. Like, so we basically took the formal furniture and put it outside and just sat on the lawn and thought, this is great. And then from that point is where I think Otto, I mean, Chip came in and said, hey, we're going to start doing this, and started playing beer traffic. And then it became some cult following, if you will, and from that side of it. So, yes, I was out there quite often, and there was a time for, what was it, homecoming that, for God's sakes, that I wish I could regret being at, when we tangled with some alumni and they fed us Absolute all day and I fell asleep on the porch or the couches with that, and missed going to dinner with somebody's parents, and that was, yeah, that didn't go over very well. But anyways.
Well, Virginia, to speak on the beer traffic, she made giant pot of meatballs for lunch, and it was in the later in the afternoon, and I went back to get my little, you know, sandwich or whatever, and we were playing beer traffic, and I brought a big bowl of meatballs out front, and I'm eating some of them, a couple guys are eating them, and I just remember whipping one into the street, and then everybody starts watching the meatball to see which car's going to hit it, and if it was your color, you'd have to slam your whole beer. And then all of a sudden, there's all these meatballs going in the street and all these flattened meat patties from all the cars running over them, and that was my favorite moment in beer traffic, I think.
It was a unique time. How we didn't get in trouble more often than we did, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we didn't really get in trouble that often, so we were pretty easygoing guys. So,
well, is there anything else you want to add on this beautiful remembrance of your time at Indiana Zeta?
No, I'm sure there's more, but again, it's, you know, I appreciate what you're doing and saying, and again, the opportunity to, you know, just relive a little bit. And it's not necessarily embellishing who you are, grandiosizing. I can't get, I was getting older, Sean. I turned 50, and my vocabulary's turned to shit. So I used to be good at it, and then I worked construction, did some other things, and my vocabulary went to hell. And so now I'm either freaking out that I got something going on in my head that I can't remember anything. But anyways, I digress.
Well, today was the first day that the new email campaign has gone out. It's going to be going out weekly to highlight alumni interviews as well as active interviews, so we can kind of get to know them and stuff going on at Ball State. Guys want to go back up there, like what games are going on next week and arts things or whatever. So we're really, and the other twist is we want to get everybody's, not just the current contact info, but also, you know, what type of career they're in, current city they're in. So then we all can really start networking, if possible, to know what, where the guys are and what they're doing now. So they might be able to help out business-wise or whatever, even for young guys wanting to get job placements. So we're kind of trying to evolve it, but I really appreciate your time. And you were sponsored by Fido, definitely. I know Bill wanted you to do yours. I think McCauley and Boedeker, they all wanted to hear Bell tell their stuff, so I'm glad you had the time to tell your tales, and I appreciate it, and Phi Alpha, and say anything else you want to say, and then we can close this out.
No, that's fine, Sean. I appreciate Phi Alpha to you, and I appreciate those guys saying and bringing up the thing. This is the abridged version. I mean, I think what would be better, and I'm going to keep going on, so I'm going to go along with you, so sit tight. But what I would think would be better is the opportunities for us to get together as a group. I'm glad they try with the, and they do, and I say try, they do with the golf outings. But if there's an opportunity for more people to get together, because some people may be not social media people or getting on the phone or wanting to make the conversation, because they, or maybe they feel they don't have something to add. Everybody's got something to add to this. Doesn't mean that you don't have to be a CEO or president or doing some crazy shit. Just, you know, where you are and just, hey, how's it going? And, you know, what's up? I think that's the main thing that'd be driven from this is, you know, it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to be a successful person. Not to say I'm not successful or if people aren't successful, but you know what I'm saying? It's not like, it's not some show and tell process. It's just, hey, you want to hear what's going on. And if you can provide some insight, it's a good thing to do.
Right. And we are going to start, you know, trying to promote, hey, if you want to go to Ball State this weekend, we're going to have a little alumni thing at the house, or, hey, you want to come down to Indy and blah, 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 or, hey, you want to, so we're going to try to start incorporating that also involving the actives, because right now there's 35 actives that are 21 or older. So they're ready to rock with us, which is hilarious. When I went up there a couple weeks ago, or maybe like a month ago at this point, had a blast with them. And I mean, straight up, they're all cool studs. They're all nice guys, and, you know, not too many that...
Well, that's good. If I may, there's something, two things. One thing, I didn't see this a lot from aside from our pledge ship. Our pledge class, when we did call boards, we basically all racked at the house. We all slipped on the formal. We all gathered up, and we all knew we had a job to do the next day. Granted, it's just cleaning the house. It was a shit house to begin with. But still, we did what we had to do. And so it was like, that was one good thing I remember from the team unity from our group. Was that it was the only cat we had to go get was JJ. For whatever reason, he never stayed with us. We had to go get him out of his girlfriend's bed every time, every Saturday, every whatever it was, we had to go get him. But for the most part, 99% of us were staying at the house overnight. So wake up, do what you got to do, go back, do the same thing. So Saturday, Sunday mornings were both the same things for the most part. And that was pretty cool. And then one thing that I do remember from Pledge Ship, what we did to other people, and I got to get this one in there, though, is we used to take people from call boards, and we would run down to Hooters with them. And then we'd make them drive us down to Hooters, and then we would feed them, and we would get drunk, and then they would drive us back and forth. So we would kidnap people from call boards on Fridays to run down to Hooters. So that was something always kind of fun to do. It was like, yeah, we were the big bad guys, whatever, but once you got around us, you realized we were just basically teddy bears. Just having fun with you more than anything else.
Did you happen to remember going and getting the pig?
I went one year, and it was already – we took the – what did we do? Obviously, the limo. It was already dead when we got there, and I can't remember if we brought it back. I was holding some piglets or something like that. I can't remember what it was. It was one of those – my first senior year. So, because, again, man, like I said, I – Tommy boy, 7 years, but I dabbled a lot, and I put myself through school. So that's also why some of that was. I mean, it was funds weren't necessarily – at my disposal, so I had to take care and do what I needed to do myself. So.
Yeah, but I'll throw this in real quick. Matt Beard, in his interview, said that one of the guys in his pledge class was given the gun to shoot the pig, and it didn't die, and it jumped and busted through the gate that they were holding up, and it started running, and one of the other guys jumped on the pig as it was running, pulled out his Bowie knife, and started stabbing it in the neck.
Oh, yeah. No, this bastard was dead when we got there. It was already done. I think we got lost, or we stopped and got a bunch of more beverages on the way there. By the time we got there, it was already hanging up from the fork truck. And so it was already spread out, spread eagle, gutted, and ready to go. So they basically just said, throw it in the car and go. So by the time we got there, it had already been done. We showed up late.
What about Brown County and Beer Donkey Kong with the kegs? Were you there for that?
I was there, but that's what Earl talked about. So he and I, and I think we took Schombach, and maybe it was just us three or somebody else. We drove into Bloomington, and I'm like, hey, we got some time to kill. Let's go to the SAE house. We went to the SAE house in Bloomington, hung out there for a bit, maybe hit a couple other parties, hit some liquor stores, and then went back to Brown County with the kegs. And that's where we said, hey, Schombach, tell him, you know, we stayed back. And we're going to make some story up. But again, we just walked back. Earl and I had some beers. I just walked back on the stone road back up to the party. And we tried to stay away from people. And a car came. And we're like, okay, let's hide in the ditch. Well, I went to one side. Earl went to the other side. My ditch went down. His went up. And so he ran into the darkness and basically ran straight into a wall. And it just was laying there. It's like staying like... the Wile E. Coyote, like, cut out into the bushes, into the wall, just not moving. I'm like, don't move, car's coming. And a car goes by, and then I peel him off the wall, and I pick myself up from the ditch, and we start walking again. But, yeah, he ran. Think about that, running dark and, like, trying to think you're going to go down into a ditch, but running into a wall. That's what he did. So
that's awesome.
And then when you guys were there, that wasn't your pledge class. It was the devil guys after that. Sorry. Yeah. It was, so, like, with Couts and them, Buckus, God love that kid. I don't like all of it, but I just remember just Kim, Spanky, Dobbs. Got to have all the fun times we have with those cats. But when they were all sleeping, and then Boedeker decides, we're going to get these kids wet. And we go on Billy Joel and got the hose out and just drenched everybody that were sleeping. God, that was horrible, but fun.
I just remember when they were running, doing the running up and down the hill and the horse pasture,
the Donkey Kong kid, yeah.
That I was at the bottom and they're supposed to come down and tag my hand. And I just remember like trying to avoid stepping in the horse poop. So I kind of stepped behind it. And one kid was just running right at me. And he happened to hit it, flipped, hit on his back, and just slid down. And he went up back by the campfire. And everybody started going, "Who smells like shit? Who the hell's, God damn, who smells like?" And then they're like, "Oh my God, it's all over your back." And he's like, "Holy shit." And that was, but if you're trying to jump over kegs in a horse pasture on a hill, you might end up stepping on some shit.
Yeah, and I would say that one thing to end with is the shameless plug, though, the fun we had with the clown shirt and just
Yes.
the rebuttal that, you know, that I had written to the kid in the Ball State paper. And I was just kind of always think of that one. I'm like, I don't know where that kid was earlier on in life. I wish it had been that smart early on, but whatever. But just my rebuttal to that situation, I always thought was kind of funny. So, but again, that's my own self, so what have you.
It's all good. Well, I'm glad you're able to take the time to tell the alumni and actives what a wonderful time you had with SAE and still going down in Nashville. We should maybe plan a little alumni trip down to Nashville. I think that would be fun. I think you could tell us some places to go and we could have a nice little small reunion. I think that'd be a good city to launch off to.
That'd be awesome. Again, I'm old and I got kids, so I have absolutely no idea anything anymore. I don't. But still, it's a good city to be in. So it'd be cool to do so. So
Okay.
anytime, man, let me know.
All right, we'll just stay on the line, but file, I'm going to close this one out.
All right, Sean, take care, man. Thanks.
Right on.